Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
The past 15,000 years, the entire span of human civilization, have witnessed dramatic sea level changes, which began with the rapid global warming at the end of the Ice Age, when coastlines were more than 700 feet below modern levels. In the new book, The Attacking Ocean, The Past, Present, and Future of Rising Sea Levels, New York Times bestselling author Brian Fagan explores how rising sea levels have shaped human society. Brian Fagan is Emeritus Professor of Anthropology at the University of California, Santa Barbara, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
What brought you to this subject of looking at the sea levels and ultimately, I guess, beginning with the history?
Well, I've written a series of books on the relationship between the fate of human societies and climate change over the last 10,000 years. But some years ago, I heard an absolutely superb lecture given by a retired Bangladeshi major general on the plight of Bangladesh, which is a low-lying country, in a world of rising sea levels, where the effects were not only rising sea levels displacing people from land, but also contamination of groundwater with sea water, with salt water, and also the increased danger in a world which is warming with more extreme weather events of absolutely catastrophic sea surges. And he made the point very eloquently that probably in half a century, millions of Bangladeshis, many of them subsistence farmers, will probably become environmental refugees. And it occurred to me that this whole area of rising sea levels and sea surges had probably a rather interesting history. And when I looked into it, I was absolutely fascinated.
We think certainly with what we're seeing now, that we are responsible, that we very much have a stake. But you point out in the book that there is also, when you look at that history, the erratic nature of sea levels was certainly present, even though there were so few people on Earth.
Oh, yes. There have been a number of factors of action here. Of course, the big, powerful one until about 6,000 years ago was the effects of the warming world after the Ice Age, the melting of ice sheets, the adjustment of the Earth's crust, adjustments in the volume of the ocean, which caused irregular but relatively rapid sea level rise. But then about 4,000 BC, maybe a little earlier, this all stabilized, and sea level change, except for the odd inch here and there, more or less stayed virtually unchanged until the 1860s. This was a natural process. And then in the Industrial Revolution, with the injection of fossil fuels into the atmosphere, warming seems to have resumed. And at the moment, if anything, it seems to be accelerating. We live in a warming world, and the effects of sea level rise now probably are to a considerable extent attributable to humans.
These level changes, the sea level changes, are cumulative, they are gradual, and ultimately we do not know when they will end.
No, we don't, and they are cumulative. And the thing that's interesting about them is that they are very slow. You're talking millimeters, centimeters a year. Forgive the police in the background. I'm in a hotel above the street. Anyway, they are very small in centimeters and millimeters. But the effects of them are much more widespread than that. For example, if you take an area like San Francisco Bay, you may get a rise, let's say, of 6 inches. But the horizontal spread is much more extensive because of the reduced topography, which is one of the problems in Bangladesh. It's a problem in the Nile Delta and so on. So the effects are more than you might think. But the main one is the danger of extreme high tides coinciding with severe storms, which brings water ashore. Hurricane Katrina, Superstorm Sandy, and so on.
And this is a problem created by us, not by the oceans. And you point out in the book that the oceans themselves really have changed little.
Yeah. This is a problem caused by us. And in the past, and by the past I mean right up till really the 18th century, human populations were teeny. Even, and I'm in my 70s, when I was a kid, there were many few people on Earth than there are now. I was thinking about this the other day. There just are more traffic, more people, more crowding. And of course, cities are very, very much larger. And whereas in the past one could move with the ocean and sort of ebb and flow with it, we no longer can. You can't move a city of 5 million people. So we're facing a very different world.
Yes, they were able to move to higher ground. They were able to go to new coastlines. And there were not areas that were vulnerable could be avoided. And that isn't the case anymore.
That's correct. We're stuck. Imagine a huge sea surge coming ashore in Miami Beach, which could happen, or one affecting Singapore or Shanghai. The effects would be devastating because, unlike hunters 10,000 years ago in the North Sea who simply moved away, we can't do that.
The title of the book is The Attacking Ocean. So how is it attacking us as we speak?
It attacks us in very subtle and also in very violent ways. It attacks us in the sense that the sea level is gently rising. But the one thing about sea level, you see these constant hysterics about melting ice sheets and how the sea will suddenly rise X number of feet and so on. That's fine. In the long haul, that is going to happen, and we've got to think about it. The real problem is the one of sea surges and sudden incursions. For example, if you looked at the North Sea in medieval times, say 1,000 years ago, there were chronicles of absolutely devastating sea surges, and they would destroy entire fishing fleets. They would literally roll herds of sheep and flocks, herds of cattle and flocks of sheep, head over heels, and kill them by the thousand. So the damage was terrible. Today, in a world that's far more populated, you've only got to look at the wake-up calls we've had. Hurricane Sida in Bangladesh in 1971, which killed hundreds of thousands of people. Or, close to home, Hurricane Katrina, from which we still haven't fully recovered. And last year, Superstorm Sandy. It surged ashore. It flooded subways in New York. And the bill's about $60 billion. And we're confronting a future where this is going to become more common, because all the experts tell us that we're living in a warming world where extreme events like this are going to be commonplace. And that's the real attacking sea.
So let's talk a little bit about the future, because you do write about this. And I guess it comes down to an issue of optimism and how much we should have, how much is preventable, and because these problems are so gradual, I assume the turnaround would be gradual as well.
You've got a series of very complex challenges here. The first thing is, what the hell do you do in the face of rising sea levels? Do you do what the Netherlands have done with great brilliance? Do you wall off the ocean and keep planning in the long term, knowing that one day a 100 or more year storm is going to arrive? That's a solution, but it's an extremely expensive one, and very few countries can do it. Alternatively, do you yield to the ocean? That, as we've already said, is practically impossible. In many areas, you could do something by restoring the mangrove swamps and other natural defenses like wetlands, which kind of absorb water and then release it. But ultimately, you're looking at people moving. And here you get into all sorts of complex issues of zoning and developers and competing interests and special interests. Are you, for example, going to forbid people to build houses 50 foot or less above sea level? are property values going to go down when these dangers come in the long term, and people socially will just decide it's not worth building houses close to the ocean. The other side of the coin is that places like Shanghai are major ports, or Bangkok or Miami are major ports, or New York. They've almost got to stay by sea levels. So there's some very interesting challenges which you're going to face now and later. And if we don't treat Katrina and Superstorm Sandy as wake-up calls, we're not being clever.
We touched on this a moment ago, but I'm curious of just going back of the ocean itself. Does a rising sea level change the habitat? Does it change the actual physical nature of the ocean?
It can and it cannot. You've got the issue of warming oceans. You've got the issues of rising acidity of the ocean, much of it caused by industrial pollution and so on. Yes, there are changes, and this really is an area I don't know a great deal about, but I know there are changes, and these changes need very careful studying, particularly in the context of decimated fisheries and so on.
Because it would make sense that with these sea levels rising and the ocean not acting as it once did, that there would be some effect on the creatures and the life that is living within that ocean.
Oh, there are major changes. For example, you've got cod, which are very sensitive to water temperatures. They tend to like cold temperatures. Their livers are very, very, very sensitive, and they tend to move north. You're going to find changes in the distribution of different fish, like herring and so on. And, of course, with the overfishing of the oceans, that's another serious problem. So, once again, we really haven't begun in depth to really figure this out.
So I mentioned the word optimism a moment ago. Where is your level of optimism?
I'm an archaeologist. I spend my life looking at long, long periods of time, far longer than most scientists do. It's my job. It's what archaeologists do, and we do uniquely. This makes me feel cautiously optimistic. We're Homo sapiens. We're smart. We plan. We innovate. We respond to challenges. And in the past, we've responded to some extraordinary challenges. And we've done so while suffering. And I'm optimistic about the future. We're going to find solutions. We're going to adapt. But the cost in human life and the cost in money, among other things, and in our thinking is going to be enormous. We're going to really have to adjust some of our social attitudes, particularly as we're doing this at a time when resources like water are also in short supply. But in the long run, humanity will survive. It'll survive at a price. And being an archaeologist, I'm quite optimistic about the future.
Brian Fagan is the author of the new book, The Attacking Ocean, The Past, Present, and Future of Rising Sea Levels. The book is published by Bloomsbury Press. Brian Fagan, thank you very much for spending time with us. A delight to speak with you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is The Attacking Ocean, published by Bloomsbury. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.